you think about it from the Lord's perspective, right? Like, the Lord knows our heart. Romans literally says that, like, everything will come to fruition from what's inside, right? Mm. Like, the Lord's going to pull that out. So the people who are there every day on Sunday who aren't getting fed and aren't actually fulfilling the tenets of, like, scripture are way worse than the people who go once a month who, like, actually are feeding themselves and helping the widows and helping, you know,
the
like
poor,
the poor.
And, yes. And,
like, you know, so it's this whole thing where I think it's just a, I don't know, Christians can be judgmental. That's the truth.
Hi, friends. You've made it to Karina Faith Diaries, your new go-to spot for real talk about the journeys that shape our faith. I'm Karina, your host, and I'm super excited to chat about real life struggles, wins, and everything in between. This is all about honest conversations, lifting each other up, and the power of a relationship with Jesus. Whether you're here to learn, connect, or to get inspired, let's get started together.
Hi guys, welcome back to Karina Faith Diaries. As I'm doing my prayers here this morning, I usually like to start with a prayer off camera. I'm already bawling. So we have our producer, mighty producer, Heather Chalk here. Thank you so much for coming and for saying yes to this. I know I've been bugging you to do this.
Yeah, I think I, you know, like the back of the camera a little bit better, but that's okay.
I'm sure
an emotional
are be...
wreck, so now it has to come to light, you know.
Tell us where you came from and a little bit about your life and your family life when you're little.
Yeah, so I grew up in Southern California. My dad actually, he was an incredible athlete. My mom actually was too, but my dad, his family were missionaries in Mexico, and he had just successfully done high school soccer at like a very high level. And so the Mexican soccer team had recruited him to come play. And that was like such a big thing for my dad. But my grandpa was really strict. And so he didn't allow for him to play on Sundays, which was a lot of it. So he had to turn down the opportunity, and they ended up shipping him to Southern California to go to Biola, which is Bible Institute of Los Angeles, to do sports there. And so I think at that time, looking back at my dad in general, that really shook him to his core. Like, it was like this dream that he'd always had.
To play for the national team.
Yeah. To play professionally, like wherever. But he was All-American in soccer, baseball, and football in college for all 4 years. So, I mean, he was just a beast.
Wow.
But that's how he met my mom. And
in college?
Yeah. Okay. And so she was a softball player. And they, got married, and they dated for 7 years. He really put her through the ringer, and there we were.
So wait, he went to Bible school in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Is that what? Okay. Mm-hmm. And then your grandpa, you said he didn't, he was strict. Is it because of Christianity? Like, he didn't want him to play on Sundays, or what's the reason?
Yes. He wanted him to be in church. It was like an anti, like, okay, we don't do anything on Sundays. My grandpa was and grandma were church planters. They planted about 300 churches, give or take, in Mexico. And so,
wow.
For them, that's like what they did.
Yeah.
You know? And then
were they Mexicans? No.
No.
Okay. Because I was like, you do not look like you have any Mexican in you.
Okay. This is probably worse to even admit, but I actually, until I was in eighth grade, because my dad was a Mexican citizen, he had dual citizenship.
You thought that you were.
I thought that I was Mexican, right? I'm naturally, confession, right? Good for the soul, bad for the reputation, but I'm like naturally blonde. So not now, totally gray, but was naturally grayish. Let's not give in.
I wouldn't say totally gray at all.
My mom was completely white-haired by 22, though.
Oh, really? So was mine. My mom is like very, she had like a lot of gray hair at 18. So she wasn't fully.
Between 22 and 25. It went like really fast. So I think that, I don't know. I'm just like, I don't know what's under there at this point.
Oh my gosh. Better. Yeah.
But either way. My grandpa was military, and he was like 17 years older, I believe, than my grandma. So he just had that very like strict military background in general. For them, and my grandpa had seven, my dad was one of seven. And so that was kind of how that went.
Okay. I have a funny story about Antonio. I used to tell them, I still do, that they were Brazilians, right? So he thought for sure that he was born in Brazil. And I never knew that he thought that. I just said, you guys are, you know, half Brazilians or whatever.
And he would say to his buddies at school, like kindergarten, first grade, that he was Brazilian. And one of the moms came and said, yeah, he's Brazilian. I'm like, well, wait, no, he was actually born here. He's an American citizen. She's like, oh, I asked him specifically if he was Brazilian and he said yes. And I'm like, buddy, he's like, mom, you told me I am Brazilian. So yeah, that was like his whole world.
Well, do you speak?
I spoke Portuguese in the house. Like, yeah. So well, he totally thought he was, poor thing.
Yeah, well, my grandma watched me as a kid and she spoke Spanish. So actually, you're like, and my mom didn't, but my dad did. So like at home until I was about like five, I like knew Spanish. That went away. So, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm totally Mexican. Yeah. Like 100%. And I like believed it actually to the point, to be honest. So bad. But when I was in eighth grade, I was still marking, like, you need to mark your bubbles and whatever, like assessments. Oh, I put Mexican Hispanic every time. I was Hispanic, 100%. And finally, like, we got it back. Like, do you want a scholarship? No joke. For something in like high school that was like an extra program, my mom was like, you aren't
Mexican.
Yeah, that's how it came out. I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, someone should have told me how this works. Like,
that is so funny.
Before I'm a freshman, you know?
Yes, like, yes. So. Yeah, that's crazy. Well, I love that. Okay, so then you guys, are you the only child? No, you have a brother and a sister.
Yes, I have a brother and two sisters. Actually, the ironic part about all of this is that they're all insane athletes as well. So I'm like, was like the un, I don't want to say unathletic, but that is the joke in
the
our black family.
Sheep,
yeah, yes. Basically. So my brother played sports. He actually, in college, he played for Liberty and was also like All-American. And so is my sister at Liberty. Good for them.
Wow.
And I'm just kidding. Great job, guys. And they both went on to play like pro sports at a level. So my brother played like the Indianapolis Indians, like the whatever, the farm leagues that you
yeah,
play.
Yeah, that's amazing.
The pro and was like working his way up to the pro. And then my brother's in the military.
Okay, yes.
Now. And my sister went and played professionally for Sweden. And then my other sister was recruited for the number one and two colleges for softball
wow.
in the United States, but tore her ACL three times in a year. It was about a two-year process, like right back to back. And so that was the end of her career. But
wow. So you were never involved in sports yourself?
Okay. I was, but like notably not really. Like I just tried to do things that they didn't do. I know that sounds bad, but they were like all so gifted in baseball and soccer or softball and soccer. And so it was one of those things where I remember as a little girl being like, Dad, can I like play soccer? And he's like, I think you should do the flags on the sideline.
Aww.
And I remember, and to this day, I joke. I'm like, thanks for the opportunity. You
yes.
know, like,
you are a good cheerleader, though.
Yeah,
you really are.
Well,
so he knew your gift before.
Yeah,
you.
Well, it was funny because we were literally at my daughter's soccer game like last week. And my sister decided and my mom decided to come. And they were running. I'm like, they're like, what position should you play? I'm like, I have no idea. I was like, guys, I know how to do the flags. Remember, I can go up when it's out of bounds. Like, we were literally having that conversation. I'm like, that was all you let me do. Like,
oh, my gosh.
So I joke with them. But, no, I played volleyball, basketball. Those are kind of more my – and then I ran track as well. I did volleyball and that my freshman year and then did track and cheer the rest of it.
Okay.
I don't tell people I did cheer. I don't need that to be out on here, but I'll
tell
you. Oh,
that's cute. That's, I mean, it takes a lot of flexibility and like, you know, you have to be a good like gymnast to do cheering.
Well, that was how it worked. So I did speech and debate through high school and actually college. And then I coached after that.
Gosh, I can totally see you doing that.
Yeah, that was like my niche. I loved it. And because of that, like, so it was kind of like the acting portion, like speech has like an acting component, but then there's also some debate components in high school that I liked. There was like, so I liked all of that and performing in front of people and getting up
there. Okay,
and
so that's part of the,
all performances and then you get rated and it's like you perfect it. It's like really fun. But my coach was a cheerleader to get himself, he ran out of scholarship his senior year at his university. He did the 5 years. So he joined the cheer team the last year. Is like, basically he's like, you could totally do cheer because you've done gymnastics for so long and it'll get you out of PE. I was like, okay.
I'll do it. Whatever it takes to get me out of PE.
Oh my gosh. I did track the whole time. But that was like an after thing. You kind of had to do like something during this like one part of school. And I was like, I'll do cheer, I guess. So
I love it.
But
that's great.
I could tumble. So that was, yeah.
Did you have a relationship with Jesus growing up as a family? Like, how was yours? And do you remember when you actually said yes to follow him?
Yeah. So that's something that I would say is, I remember being like mid-20s and being like, gosh, I don't have a testimony.
Oh.
Like, I love the Lord since as long as I can remember. Mm-hmm. I was the one that would be like, Mom, I need you to pick up all of my friends on Wednesday night for, we had a Wednesday night like church service. Starting when I was like in second grade, it was called Pioneer Girls. I'm sure a lot of people who've grown up in church know what that is. But there'd be like Wednesday night programming with like a snack and like worship and all this to Bible study. And I'd be like, we need to go pick up my friends. My mom would take our blue Dodge minivan and drive around to neighborhoods to pick up like all my friends that would maybe think about ever going to church. Cause I just like had a heart of evangelism so young. And that went on. Like I was making my mother pick people up through literally since till I got a car, like to go to church.
Oh my gosh.
Like, it was just something I was so passionate about, was like getting people and new believers to like
come to
something
church.
So great. Yeah, absolutely. But I remember people think this is crazy. I remember being 3 or 4. It was right in there. And I remember we had pulled into the driveway after Sunday school. And I was jumped into the front seat and was like, Mom, I want to talk to you. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, I want you to like have me accept Jesus into my heart. And I remember having that conversation in the front seat of that blue Dodge minivan and just having that conversation. And like, that was it. And I think that was like the fire for me from then, that like, I remember literally being 5 years old and my grandma would read me like books about missionaries in the Philippines and in China and in Europe. And,
so the seed was planted.
I remember being like, that's what I want to do. Like I forever thought I was going to be a missionary. That was like what I wanted. And so, that was
I do want to say something, like that's the importance of having people like feeding you and nurturing you from an early age, because it's never too early for you to accept. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I never fully accepted him until I was in my 30s. But I've always believed, I just didn't have that culture of like, my parents didn't know, you know what I mean? That you had to actually say yes, like almost like a declaration. Doesn't have to be in public, but
well, it's your decision.
It's my decision. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it's like, say it out loud. I accept mm-hmm. Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior. I didn't understand that until my 30s. So that's really, and because, you know, my parents didn't know, but because yours did, how wonderful it is that you had the opportunity of doing that from an early age. So I'm just speaking to parents out there that it's such an important thing. So yeah, feed your kids the word and talk to them about it. It's one of the best things that we can do as
parents.
Super
important. And yeah, like, especially now as a parent, one of the biggest things I remember my dad doing is we did like a weekly Bible study, because he went through a season where he was like kind of over church. I think that's where a lot of people might be right now.
100%.
But I think he hit that. I mean, there was a season I just remember where he'd be like, Dad, let's go to church. My mom worked at the church my whole life. So since I was born, she had started working. She ran the Mother's Day Out program.
Wow.
So the childcare during the week. And so, I mean, I was embedded in ministry from there to church. I mean, it was like every day, you know, and I loved it. Like, couldn't get enough of it. But my dad went through this season, and I don't even really remember where it started, but I'll never forget. He was just like, yeah, I just don't know if this is like what God envisions the church to be. And I don't remember knowing exactly what was going on at that time. He had taught Sunday school up until then. So we started like home Bible studies. We would go on Sundays, but like during the week.
So he didn't shy him away from actually believing. It was just like the building itself. Yeah.
Yeah. It was, I just remember Chuck Swindoll, a lot of people will know that name, was the pastor of our church, and he had left and we had interceded a new pastor. Like it grew, it was a big church, kind of grew down to a smaller church. And I think some of the decisions that were being made, I don't know that my dad was like all on board for it. Uh-huh. Is my assumption. I just know I was like young and like maybe junior high and just going like, okay, well, this is what we're doing now. And man, this is so, I'm learning so much more
doing a small group. Yes.
With your family. My dad was like, I mean, he had, for him, like memorizing books of the Bible was like a passion for him.
Wow. So that's incredible.
Like 5 or 6 books of the entire, like,
I admired that so much, and people like their gifts. In fact, I was telling you, I consume this type of content so much, and I'm like, when I thought about doing this podcast, I'm like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to quote all the scripture. Mm-hmm. And because I love it, I love the word so much. But that is not my gift. I butcher every single piece of scripture. You know what? We're gifted a different thing.
Listen, you that's know? Not butchering. You're just the message version.
It is.
You
know? Yes, I'm more like, the message.
Yeah, my dad was like a NLT, you know? And I would say I'm probably more 100%. Of an ESV. You just got to find your lane, yes, you know?
Like, yeah. I'm an LLT trying to be an ESV person all the way. But one day I'll get there. Yes. We'll see.
I work for a King James, you know?
So
you
gosh. I don't think I can get to that level, but okay.
Yeah.
So then you guys were doing meetings in your house. Like,
yeah. So we would just do, you know, weekly Bible studies just as a family. Like, yeah. It was like our family. Like, it was like, you cannot not be here at this time as we grew older. And that continued. Like, we continued to do that. My dad would definitely, like, attend from time to time.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like his root wasn't there. And as someone who's worked for the local church for so long, mm-hmm. and my mom working for the local church for so long, it's a very like ironic kind of place to be. But my dad's real mission, so this started in high school. I was in high school. He had actually taken a job. He had a season that he wasn't working and then had gotten hired. He was at one school, went to another one as a coach and a substitute teacher. And then he started his own like soccer training program for people, younger kids who like needed it. I'll never forget how many kids he would take out for dinner. And they were all Spanish speaking and
talk about,
yeah, just talk Jesus. About the gospel and like wow. share Jesus. And I'm like, you know, as much as we all, especially, and I think in American culture, are very passionate about, you know, like, we need to be at church on Sunday and like this, like Julie said it in hers. She's like, sometimes our mission is just to be with the people that aren't going to be there on Sunday on the missions field, mm-hmm. at the soccer games, at the baseball games. And I watched
represent,
that.
Represent mm-hmm. Jesus. I 100% believe mm-hmm. that. While I do think that it's like something, sometimes we have to say no to things because it gets out of control and the sports culture, whatever else culture, the busy culture. I also think that there is a place and a time for that too. It's like you can't just shut everything down and be so radical, you know, because you're missing out opportunities on as you go along. And it's we need to have that soft spot, I think, for God to talk to us and not just be like, this is it. And, you know.
Yeah, I think when you decide for God what the best choice is to pastor his people, I think you really limit the ability to disciple and evangelize. And so just watching it firsthand, like I watched my dad go to every day with these kids that he was coaching on his team. And then these kids that would come after. And I remember my mom being like, this is not a moneymaker. Like, so if they couldn't afford it, my dad was just always so full of grace. Like, that's okay. We'll just do it for free. My mom's like, okay, but you're gone. Like,
this is a ministry.
Yeah, but it was. And that's really what it had turned into for all those years. And then he'd like, literally, they'd always go out to eat after. Because that was like this, like such a special part for a lot of these families who were immigrant families and low income. You know, California, people think, oh, it's like, oh, so wealthy. Like, there's like, no, it's not. Somebody. Like, there is the wealthy, and then there's like everything else is like the norm, you know? And
or below, maybe sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And so, and not saying everyone was like low income, but there was definitely
big population for that.
And especially immigrants. And so that was just a really him being in that space, but also loving the Lord and then also knowing Spanish and understanding where they've come from because he didn't necessarily want to move over here was a really cool space. And so, my mom more so after the fact has just told us so many stories of the people that, I mean, the families that have been there for her and that reached out and,
wow.
You know, it's just a really cool situation. So, yeah, I don't know. I love the local church. I'm a huge believer in the local church. It is the Lord said it's his bride, you know?
Yes.
That's what he's coming back for. But I also think in order to ever reach some people, there's places and spaces that you have to go.
Mm-hmm.
And if God gives you the gifting and the heart to do that, and you can, like my dad, like I've never heard my dad cut, like never drank, never cussed, never anything, just like literally like ate and breathed the word. And And so for that, like, I'm like, okay, like, I just
eat. That's a great example to have in your life. Like, yeah.
So I would just never look and be like, oh, well, he wasn't in church every Sunday. I guess he's going to hell. You know what I mean? Yes. It's like such an extreme thought.
No, I've never believed in that if you're not in the church. However, I do feel like that's the place that we are fed. And so it's so important in us growing our relationship with God because we need to be fed by other believers. We need to be, you know, thinking about the word and absorbing and learning from others. So yes, I am all about it too, but there's so many things that we don't know and just telling people that, oh my gosh, that's, I'm not even going to repeat that because I think that that's the biggest silliness should, like, if you're not in church, you're going to hell.
That was a real extreme comment, but you know, I think people think like that sometimes almost, like, oh my gosh, like they're once a monthers.
I know,
I would say my dad was probably a once a monther.
Yeah. Like, but that's the thing. If you think that you're checking that box and then you're not leaving the word outside of it, then you're not going to, you know, that's not being saved. Being saved is being in this relationship that you're taking the church outside of the walls and doing that, living your everyday as the hands and feet of Jesus, you know, and the ways that we treat others and the ways that we speak to others and the ways that we are in relationship and that we care about others, right? And not just being like, I'm a good Christian, I'm here in church, therefore I'm saved, you know, like, yeah.
Okay, but here's the reality too, right? If you think about it from the Lord's perspective, right? Like, the Lord knows our heart. Romans literally says that, like, everything will come to fruition from what's inside, right? Like, the Lord's going to pull that out. So the people who are there every day on Sunday who aren't getting fed and aren't actually fulfilling the tenets of, like, scripture are way worse than the people who go once a month who, like, actually are feeding themselves and helping the widows and helping, you know, the, like, poor, the poor.
Yes.
Like, you know, so it's this whole thing where I think it's just a, I don't know. Christians can be judgmental. That's the truth.
Like, and it is. Like, we often talk about this in our home. Like, the worst part of Christianity is the Christians. Yeah. And I hate saying this, but it's true. So true. Like, we tend to be very judgmental and as a group of people, and it's so hard to get out of the vicious cycle. And that's what God despised the most. Jesus despised the Pharisees. Like, he was one that's like, those are not going to go to heaven, people. And they follow the law, they tithe, they did all of the things that were in the law, but they did not have a heart for others. And Jesus was very specific. If you are like the Pharisees, you're not going to see heaven. Mm-hmm. So be humble and walk the walk.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got into this, but I love it.
Me too. I can actually piggyback. I think what the Lord's really been working on me recently was just this idea of generations and what kind of that fruit is, you know, like, you know, you look at the Bible and you see, like, Abraham, who didn't believe in what was going to happen. And then he sleeps with his servant. And, you know, and you're like, God, how can you still bless that situation? And literally the Lord in Romans, it says he was pleased with Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, so I
he's
can
messed
still,
up.
Yeah,
he's
he can still being. Fail and do it, but there's, like, a generational blessing that he became the father of generations, right? And then, like, that's such a cool thought that that's what we're doing with our children and our families too, is creating this generation. And so what we want to not be is, like, how many think about people were, like, judging Abraham at that time? Like, he's supposed to be a Christian, you know, and he's doing this. And, like, but God still blessed that because he was faithful. So, like, what's it matter what other people are judging you about as Christians, since we're on the Christian talk, you know?
Yeah.
And, but, like, maybe it's not about us ever in the moment. Like, are we being faithful? Are we honoring God's word? Are we surrounding ourselves with believers? Are we edifying people that aren't believers? Like, where's the exhortation we're giving to, like, the encouragement that we're giving to people? Do we look like Jesus, you know? I think about that all the time with, like, my kids and my dad and, you know, just all of it. Like, it's just a constant reminder from the Lord of, like, gosh, my goal in life is to not care at this season, especially I'm learning, like, who cares what people think? Mm-hmm. Who cares what I'm doing? Like, is this glorifying God where he looks at it as, I will bless your generations? Started in nursing because I was like, I'm going to be a nurse. Because that's, I mean, like, a teacher and a nurse, that's, like, the ways that you become a missionary. Like, in my head from all the books that I'd read. And that's what I was doing. But ended up, like, being like, oh no, I think I just, like, want to do corporate America and climb the ladder, and was like,
make some money.
Yeah, we'll take care of us. I'll figure it out. You know, and this just, I don't know. the enemy gets you distracted.
Yes,
and
yeah.
So I went ahead and took an internship in California because I knew this was going to be a problem. But once you graduate, it's like, how do you get it? I couldn't really take an unpaid internship. Mm. People don't really offer unpaid internships. They usually do it for school credit or for like small pay, but mm-hmm. Indiana doesn't have a lot of opportunities. I like looked at everything.
It has better. It's better now. Even Belle was talking about it, but it used to be like, even like 2-3 years ago, it's all unpaid. Yes. For students.
Yeah. But especially after I wasn't even a student anymore. Like I'd already graduated.
So you needed to get paid.
Yeah. I ended up taking an internship at a PR company in Beverly Hills. And so Brennan was like, you have to, I get it. Do it for a season. And so that's what we did. I ended up for 3 months.
Moving back
there? Yeah, moving in my parents' house.
And you guys were married already at that point? Yep. Wow, that takes a lot of guts to be able to do that, try to do a little long distance while being married.
It wasn't really that fun. He came in the middle for a week. That's kind of what we did. I think it ended
up... How long was it? Like
3 months, but I think I stayed an extra like 2 weeks or so. So like maybe 3.5 is what I want to say. Uh-huh. That was how we got there. But this is kind of the cool part in all of it is that when I had moved back there, I had now lived here probably 6 or 7 years at that point. You know, you lose communication at some point. You're not moving, talking every day to your family. Mm-hmm. It's just like you're doing life.
And yeah.
Like, especially at that season, I was like, gosh, I'm so embarrassed that I'm like not where I want to be or haven't really accomplished anything, and here are all my like pro siblings running around countries like playing sports, you know, and I'm like, guys, I got it, like, you know. And my sister was at NYU almost at that point, and like getting her dental hygiene, and I'm like, guys, I'm crushing life. Like, it's just like a very embarrassing season. I just remember being like, I applied to so many places, no luck. So that's why I ended up back at that internship space.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, because everyone kept saying like, you just need an internship and then maybe we can, you know, okay.
Yeah, hire you.
But it was like a really sweet season where like for those 3.5 months, like I got to hang out with my dad. Like we were doing like coffee Bible studies every week. We were hanging out, you know, just getting to like really revisit my family and my like, everyone else was at college almost, I believe.
See, nothing, I mean, goes back to saying nothing is wasted by God, right? Mm-hmm. In all the seasons that we think we are, like you felt like a loser and he was nurturing you for the next step.
So much. And that's funny that you say that, and I'll bring up the nothing is wasted in a second. But it was just, it was a sweet season looking back. And I remember being like so stressed, like, oh my gosh, I'm not with this. But it was like, there's also moments of just this peace in all of it, you know. And then I moved back here. I started just like serving at church like crazy because we had found this church that we really loved, and I think that was one of the most special seasons because we were just, it was a newer church and we were so in love with it and just like in love with the people and the community, and really grew passionate about like, oh my gosh, seeking God's lost kids, which was always kind of on my heart. And I'm like, man, this is kind of like local missions, and maybe one day I can be like a missions pastor. I mean, like all this stuff kind of started circulating. Mm-hmm. And then we got to still serving, and I was working, just going back to the restaurant that I was already at, but now I was doing their PR and marketing. So at least I it was a little bit different. And I was like, I just need some reps under my belt before I, you know, do something else. So I was applying other places, but still doing this. And then we get to December of that year. And I got a call. The restaurant had closed. Got a call around midnight from my aunt. And she had just said, I'm so sorry, your dad is in the hospital. He's had a heart attack. And my dad like had an 8-pack at this point. So like, that's crazy. Not the person that you, I was like, and I didn't even say this, but my mom in college had gone through stage 4 colon cancer. And I've kind of themed this, I suppose, with my dad. So I'll go with this. But my mom had stage 4 colon cancer. So we just kind of always assumed like, man,
she's going to go first.
Yeah. And she like is an amazing beast and fought her way out of that. But we get this call and I'll just never forget being like, okay, what do you need? And my sister was like, hey, he fell. I wasn't home. Mom like got him in an ambulance. So my sister had gone down to the hospital at that point and called her, and she's like, they've tried to resuscitate him 4 times, but, and he keeps fighting. That's what they keep saying. But the heart doctor wasn't there. So they had an hour to get there. And it just wasn't in time. And so my dad passed.
I'm so sorry.
And I'll just never forget. It was a Saturday night. I remember being up all night. I was the one that had to call my brother. And so I call my brother, who's at school at Liberty. And I literally was like, what do we do? And he's like, we just get in the Word. And we open the Bible to Romans, because that was his favorite. And we went verse by verse for hours, just the two of us back and forth. And I remember being like, Brennan, what do you need? I'm like, this. Like, I don't know. Like, it's so, like, you're just so confused. Yeah. You know?
How old was he?
58.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, yeah, it was just a lot. Yeah. All at that moment when you just, like, didn't see it coming. So, yeah. That led to the next morning at church. I'll never forget, was the first time that Brennan, it was the first day that Brennan had ever served at the Red Tent.
Oh, okay.
And a tent at that time was the welcome thing. And yeah. Brennan's an introvert to the T. And I already was like so annoyed that he had to do it, but I'm like, you need to go. And so I'll just never forget that Kelly came up, our worship pastor at the time, and was like, he had said, like, what happened? I told him. And he literally looked at me and he said, I'm so sorry, but why is the rock star at the Red Tent? And I laughed so hard. It was just like what I needed. I'm like, don't worry about me. I'm good, you know? And I'll never forget that.
We love Kelly. We love miss Kelly. Him.
And so so that led to, I just remember going into worship and the song Nothing Is Wasted had come on. Oh. And I just like fell to the floor mm-hmm. and worshiped. And I was just like, God, I don't know what's happening, but like, whatever you want for me, like a job doesn't matter. Like, this doesn't matter. Like, please just put me where you need me, mm-hmm. you know? And it was kind of crazy because it just kind of spiraled after that. And I remember thinking, gosh, like, so I went home obviously for a little bit to take care of some stuff with my mom, got back in January, and was just doing the same thing, serving, finishing, all that stuff, and working really hard to, like, volunteer as much as I could for fun. And
yeah.
Because it was like, now, you know, especially when you have community that walks you through stuff like that, you're like, man, that's a good community.
That is,
and that's
incredible.
There's a couple girls that I was really close to on my team that I served on, and they actually bought my plane ticket to and from.
Oh, just my gosh. To honor. Wow.
So Erica Hightower, you're amazing. And had rallied that together. And that was like such a special time where I was like, gosh, I'm just like so loved, you know, in like the hardest season.
And that is why community is so important. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I feel like when you're in church and your values align, that's the easiest part, to have a community. That's why I feel like as Christian, we say so much, you got to find a church that, you know, has, mm-hmm. that aligns your values. But even relationships, it's important to surround ourselves with that, because it carries us through hard times. Mm-hmm. That's God's way of doing life. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that you had that.
And that community was beautiful. But the coolest part for me, and it goes to the community part that we were talking about earlier, but it's California, you know, it's a unique space to share the gospel in mm-hmm. general.
Very.
Even then.
Yeah.
And the week my dad had passed, the school had put up this like big flower wall for him. Like, oh, we love you, Coach Steve. And then they did, the kids rallied together to put a fundraiser together for my mom. And they had thousands of kids show up to play a memorial soccer game for my dad. And they gave like the money to my mom. And it was like, not a month, but it was like the most special thing. They made like shirts, and you know, you look and you're like, oh my gosh, what a crazy amount of people that mm-hmm. are here supporting this. And those weren't the people that he went to church with.
Those are people that,
was that the
he
community.
Was
playing. Yeah. Yes. But then we go to like, so my mom worked at the church, you know, she's like, oh, we'll just use this little room that they're doing, and invited family, friends, and you know, a few more people, but mm-hmm. it wasn't going to be crazy. I think the capacity was like 500 or so in this. And we sat down and people just kept pouring in.
Wow.
And it was like one of the coolest things I've ever seen. There was like 1500 people at this funeral.
Oh my gosh.
Just packed wall to wall of just students and families that came up to us after, being like, your dad like got my kid saved. Your dad, like, my son knows the Lord because of your dad. Like, and you know, my dad always said something. It was like, God will never take you before you've completed what he has your purpose for.
Mm.
And I think about that often. Like, you know, I'm like,
he had his purpose.
Yeah. And I'm like, this was the purpose.
Yes.
You know, and mm-hmm. As crazy as it is to think, like, But, like, we knew, like, as a family, we're like, oh, my gosh, like, this was the moment that we're seeing salvation. Like, there had to be enough people in here that needed the Lord at that time for their families and their generations to move on with Christ that they needed my dad. Like, God needed my dad to, like, be that example, you know? In the week right after the funeral, the school, a couple of the teachers that he was friends with were like, would you guys, like to come to me and my siblings? Like, would you guys like to come talk about your dad in class? What? And really what they were asking was, would you like to come share the gospel in our classrooms?
What?
And legit, we went to the high school and me and my brother split in two and shared the gospel at least to five classrooms.
Oh, so my gosh,
30 kids. Heather. And just, like, we're like, here, this is, like, what this is. And this is where.
And that was practice for you to do what you do in life, too.
I mean, it was really cool. And I'm like, God, if you can open up doors like that, what more can't you do? And I think it was, like, a really cool faith experience, the open opportunities that God kind of provided on the back end of that. But, yeah, I had gone home after that. I don't know. It's a grieving's a weird thing. But at the end of the day, give yourself so much grace. Like, I don't think God expects us, like, I hate when work's like, you see it in people's, like, bylaws, like, oh, you have 3 days to take off.
I'm oh,
like,
gosh.
You know, I'm like, okay, but what about the 6 months or the 3 months after that, like, are triggering experiences for this? Because, like, I remember my mom actually kept my dad's phone line on. I don't even know if she did this, but she didn't shut down his cell phone. And so for years, I would call just when I, like, wanted to hear his voice.
Yeah.
So and I don't even know, like, I don't even know if my siblings know that. It was just, like, something that, like, was comforting, you know, because I didn't have that, like, closure, you know. It wasn't like it was just there and it was done. But God did, on the other hand, give me those really beautiful three months of closure
that
I didn't know that I needed. Wow. You know, so
and back in, like, in your mind, you were thinking, this is such a waste of time,
such,
like,
a waste.
I'm such a loser and this and that, and he's like, yeah, wow.
Yeah. So that actually led to me getting into ministry. So I'll never forget, it was May of that year, and I had been serving, and I remember the pastor that was one of the pastors there had been like, hey, are you, like, what are you interested in? And I'm like, missions, I love missions, you know. And he's like, okay, come on a missions trip with me. And I think we did that early June, and then I was just like, oh my gosh, I love this, like, you know. And I've been on a lot of missions trip. It wasn't, like, my first at all. I spent 3 weeks in Thailand in my senior year of high school, but and a couple other ones, but
That was really,
like, the moment
you.
Where I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. You can take teams and it's not long term. Because I've always thought, like, I'm going to do long term. And I already knew our church did, like, 50 that I grew up in, did, like, 50 mission trips a year. So it wasn't like I'm like, oh, I didn't know that you did that. But, like, I'd never done a super short term, like a week. It'd always been, like, longer than that, like a couple weeks or a month. And I'm like, that's kind of cool. Just getting people to see a different perspective.
Yeah, spreading the gospel, like, and traveling and seeing a new place and meeting new people.
It was really neat. So, and then the relationships with missions, other missionaries, was really that was really what was intriguing to me. There was that trip actually was crazy. There's a missionary, his name's Dan, and him and his wife on the last day of that trip had, like, been like, hey, you and it was someone else, like, why don't you guys come up here to their house that they had on the property. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I just want to let you know that the Lord has been speaking to me this week and wants you to know you have a very tender heart. And that was what my dad always said to me. And he, like, kind of sounds like my dad. It's like, looks like my dad. And I was like, I remember I just wept. I'm like, thank you, Jesus, you know, just for, like, some confirmations of, like, man, I haven't, like, lost all my marbles.
He was so gracious that he will meet us where we are.
Yeah.
And you needed that at that moment.
Yeah.
The reassurance. And
we got back from that, and I got asked, like, hey, would you, like, want to come on staff at the church?
Wow.
And this is what's crazy to me, is the same day that I got asked that question, I was like, gosh, I'm, like, feeling kind of weird. Like, and anyway, I went home and had taken a pregnancy test and found out. So I got offered the job and I was pregnant on the same day.
Wow.
And it was a really cool, like, moment. I think this is what's neat all about, is God's goodness. Because, like, all my dad ever wanted was grandkids. And, like, we were all just too young at that time. But, like, literally, if it would have been, like, 5 months later, grandkids, Anna could have, like, been like, I have a job. And God's like, you don't need that approval.
Yeah.
Like, that isn't for you. Like, like, they'll be generate again, it's always like something comes back to that, but, like, there's generations that he'll know that came out of that, but right now this is like not for that. Like, you're not trying to prove anything. It's like, here's what I'm gifting you.
Yeah.
You know, that was a really sweet moment. So that led me to ministry.
That's incredible. I remember one time, because you started some projects in this church, and one of them was the prison ministry, right? Mm-hmm. And you said that this is a generational thing in my family. Mm-hmm. Like, did they do that, like, as a family? How did that come
about? It was actually more Brennan's family. Okay. So Brennan's dad had done prison ministry forever, but mm-hmm. it was one of those things where I had done overseas, like when I'd go do missions with Dan. We always mm-hmm. went into prisons.
Oh.
And so it just kind of stirred this in my heart. I'm like, gosh, if there was an opportunity to do this. But that was a wild season. Being a girl going into different prisons, being like, hi, me and my church would like to do this. I know you don't like know us, but or me at all. But and I know I'm a girl. But oh my gosh. Can we do your like, could we do church service in your like men's prison? And then that
were like, they receptive to it, or did you guys have to fight a little?
I had to get another guy, and then my husband also were like got involved in it. But the Lord opened doors that were very not Heather doors. Like,
yeah,
it was really cool, and that led to six other.
That's incredible. And it took a leap of faith, like mm-hmm. you stepping into this uncomfortable situation, right? And very mm-hmm. unlikely of like, they are probably not going to say yes. And it's so cool that the church still like keeps that open to this day,
which is a few.
Yeah. I think it's so important to be in places and spaces where you wouldn't otherwise hear about God. And it just,
well, I think just one of my passions in general is like a person is, I think it's great to serve the people because you never know what people are walking through, right?
Yeah.
Like, who knows what's on the inside? Like, you can look put together,
what we see out exactly on the surface is
not. But if
not,
you're walking into a space already fully judged based mm-hmm. on who you are, your rap sheet, your experience, what you look like I've always been edgier for, I mean, as dumb as that sounds to me, but like, you know, I've had piercings and I have tattoos and I'm a girl and, you uh-huh. know, all these things. And I just know from my experience, like, it's a little bit different. And I've loved the Lord my whole life and mm-hmm. just literally like wanted to serve other people. But sometimes it's like, oh, you have tattoos or you're a girl, you know, you can't do that. You can't be
the Christians be the problem.
You can't be this Christian level of leadership
because of your appearance. Wow.
Yeah. So it's always something where I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many people who walk into that. And like, what if you just gave someone a chance who really wants an opportunity, but nobody's been given it to them? Or like, the truth is most people that are in prison facilities are either done something stupid because they haven't been guided and directed. Mm-hmm. They've been in a foster system that they mm-hmm. can't unravel themselves out of, or they just haven't been, they've been in the wrong place with the wrong people and the right, wrong steps, and they pick the wrong community. Like, it's very rare that people are like, and it
evil.
Does happen, but you're like, oh my gosh, I'm just dying to do this specific crime. Like, mm-hmm. it's just not a thing. So like, what happens if there's an opportunity to be like, hey, let's share the gospel and let's see what happens, you mm-hmm. know? And we went in and we did church services in the facilities. And
we met two, you know, mm-hmm. people. One was the fruit of that ministry and the other mm-hmm. one came from a different place, but also found mm-hmm. Jesus in the prison. And that's amazing. I wish we could, I mean, I really do. I wish we could talk to all of them who found Jesus in there. And it really is life-changing. It's the interesting thing. I've heard that from a guy who's been incarcerated in Brazil. And he's like, you know, the Bible changes you, which we know this, but it is. It's like when you're in prison and you are surrounded by so much bad because all those people are hurting so badly, it's so hard to stand out and try to change and be the change. And when you have the word, that changes you and that kind of spreads, right? And then like, it's the only book that changes you. Any other book in the world does not provoke that kind of change that, you know, that you can spread and be the light in the darkness. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I remember that resonated with me in that season that I was, because I had never read the Bible. And I'm like, oh, that's an interesting perspective, you know, like, because a lot of us think of Bible being, not a lot of us, but a lot of people do, all this ancient book that it was written so many, it's alive, everything in it. And you can read the same thing 10 times and 10 times you're going to pick something else that you didn't before. Mm-hmm. It's so incredible that, I don't know. I just feel like it's a great place to have it in prisons and any other dark places.
You know, you say that about the word being alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And I remember loving just the visual of that. But I will never forget my dad before I had to learn John 3:16 that we all know was, yeah, you will learn John 1:1. And I remember being like, why? He's like, because if you can't stand on the scripture that understands what the word is, then you can never get to the relationship. And it's John 1:1 is, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Mm-hmm. And so that was for my kids. I'm like, you have to learn this one first, you know. They're like, but we already know John 3:16. I failed you. Go back. You know.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, I love it's important.
It. Do you want to touch on how was this, like, you know, you had this beautiful journey within the church, and you were growing, you were doing all the things, and you're being nurtured and supported and loved on until you weren't anymore. And that happens with so many people. I wanted to touch on that because church hurt is real. And we had Julie talking about this, how it was so painful in that season, but that led her to a different, better, more beautiful season. And sometimes we have to walk through this with the Lord, and it's rough and it's uncomfortable, and you walk through this. So can you tell us a little bit about
it? Yeah, I think exiting the church is hard because you lose community. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that really is, at the end of the day, the biggest thing. Like, and I know, yeah, Julie said it in her way too, but it was just like, oh, there's like the community of it. And, you know, you bond yourself, you give your life to
the relationships,
loving people well. Yeah. And when you lose relationships, I just think it's always a difficult space. And, you know, no matter what that looks like, even if you want to leave, if you don't want to leave, if you feel like God's calling you to leave, like, mm-hmm, I think that's the hardest part. Like, just because God calls us to do things a lot of time does not mean that's like what Heather wants, you know?
Oh, absolutely. It's so, yeah, hard. Like, sometimes he has to shut the door for us to, yes, even though we are seeing that, hey, this is not healthy, you know? Mm-hmm. And, but no, I need, like, I have all my excuses to, you know. Yeah. And sometimes you have to just be like, no, but this is not for you, mm-hmm, anymore.
And it's hard when you, like, know what the Lord is doing and it doesn't make sense. I think that's where the faith part really comes in. And I straight up will be honest. I'm like, okay, I know you're saying this. And I know that this transition, we moved to Ohio. And I remember being like, I know this is right. I know what you're saying. We went, we prayed over the city. We spoke over it. We're like, God, give us wisdom, give us discernment, give us vision. And there was visions that I'm telling you, like, I sat in an auditorium with a vision that never came to pass. And like, it was so vivid to me, more than a lot of the ones I've received. And even, and I'm just like, God, I know. And I confirmed it with someone else. And I'm like, I feel like this is this. And, you know, and we sat in there and we were there and it was awesome. And it just never, there's things that never come to pass. And that's just, again, one of those things where, like, so now we're leaving. So we had left, departed with the Lord's will to Ohio. We're in Ohio. Same thing, like, just couldn't get a cycle on, like, a rhythm is really what I should say, like, with our family. Like, mm-hmm, our kids were struggling in school. My husband was like trying a new job that was
not for him.
Yeah. I think that, again, like, you have this thing where you're like, I'm going to take a break and do this. It's going to be great. And then you're like, gosh, why am I doing this? You know, like, this was not what I planned.
But that's good to do it because you wouldn't know, mm-hmm, until you actually do something, yeah, right?
And he could feel the ministry part that he was doing. So he was contracted in ministry, and he was, the contract part was really filling him up. But the other part,
the actual job, the paying the bills job,
was not draining him. And, yeah, he's like, this isn't supposed to be like this. So I had in that season, though, two amazing mentors that really, really spoke so much life and grace. And so Farrah Taylor and Andrea Gosley, like, you guys are just Lord sons. And it was a really cool season to kind of just walk through, having just really been poured in by these women who were like, where are you going? I see leadership in you. What are you? And it just, seeing other women with so much grace and so much wisdom and so much boldness. And it was just a really great season. And so for nothing else, I'm like, okay, Lord, we did it. And this was this. And I, you know, will always look back and go, man, so much fondness in that and rest. And one of the things I'll just totally admit is, like, my downfall in life is that I'm really good at work. Mm-hmm. I love it. Like, I love working. And especially when you're working for the Lord, you can justify so much more. And God rocked me in the last year and a half, or I guess that was a little over two years ago now, and was like, hey, like, your first priority is your family. And that's not where you've been. And so that's part of like what this season is for you. I mean, I clocked into a theme park 88 times last year. Like, yeah, less than a half year. And I'm like, I mean, my kids thought we were living the Disney life. Yeah, you know, like, and it was just so fun. Like, and yes, where
they'll forever remember that.
Yes, Heather, but let's be honest, were we lonely because we were missing our family and friends? Were we having trouble making new friends? I've made amazing friends. A little pocket of them that will stay.
But it takes a while to build a community.
It takes a while to build a community. But again, it was just like, I knew Brennan was like a little bit unsettled the whole time. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like change. Our kids were not loving school. They had some really bad experiences. And it's just like, what are we doing? Like, God, what are you doing? You know? And so let's just ride it out. And I probably was thriving the most. And
just trying to. Because everybody. Yeah. We're very similar in that sense of like, I love work too. And I'm just like, we can do this. I'm like everybody's cheerleader. And it's very exhausting when people are not on the same page, because it feels like you're trying to drag everybody. Mm-hmm. And let's go, people. Let's go. See in this way. See in this way. This is going to be great. Da, da, da. And they're like, no, it's no.
Yeah.
It gets to a point where it's just like, okay.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So it's just like when you don't have an option to be like, hey, what are you doing tonight? You know what I mean? And you're like, okay, we're doing it. What are we going to do tonight? And it was like a reset. It really was. And I think God was like, hey, you are so distracted all the time by all the things that you're doing. And Business. Now you're working for me, but you're not really like
spending time, quality time with me and your family. Yes. Yes.
With him, yes. With the family, no.
Like, yes.
You know, and it was just like, I feel like, oh, well, if I'm working, but you're sitting next to me, it's quality. And God was like, that's not quality. What do you do? Like, how are you investing? Remember those Bible studies your dad were doing? Where are you doing those?
Yeah.
And so we picked up a weekly Bible study. And so just like things that we kind of put in place. And Brendan, I got the sweetest message from one of my friends from eighth grade that we still are friends. And she was just like, hey, I just like watch you and Brendan's relationship. And I feel like you are just on the same page. Mm. And I was like, that's really cool that you get that. But that is one thing that I will like be so grateful for, is that Brendan will be the first to be like, hey, you're off. And like, I need you to go back, you know, or, hey, we need to go here, or we need to do this. And so a lot of times I'm like, I don't think so. And he's like, okay, well, got to work it out. I'm just at least putting it there. You know, he doesn't push it, but it gives this opportunity to just to be like, okay, he's saying that and I'm not aligning in the spaces that God has for me, then like this whole thing's going to be off. So how am I going to be great at my work if I'm not honoring the order, so that, anyways, that's the whole thing. It was a really great year to like really year and a half, 2 years, whatever it was, to really kind of focus on that. And then God blew open some doors for Brennan that we were not expecting, and allowed us to jump back over here. And so,
which is incredible, because when I met you for lunch last summer, we just went out for just a little visit, you know, nothing like I wasn't expecting anything. And we, towards the end of our lunch, you know, I said, because you were like, oh, I just left this. Yeah. Like I was got offered this and I left. It wasn't for me. This and that. And I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. What are you guys going to do now? I don't know. We'll see. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'm like, well, I hope you guys come back here. Yes. And then I'm like, well, here I am trying to start this Christian podcast and I have no idea what I'm talking about. And then you're like, well, I know some people, you know, maybe I can help out with some, like, just let me know and I'll send some people your way. And that's when God was like, ding, ding, hello. Like, you need help. We need a producer. Talking about this to Brian the other day, I'm like, I don't know how I thought that I could do this on my own, like ever. Because it's just, I mean, the amount of work
Your social media would have worked a lot better.
I know. Well, probably that part, but no, because I have like just, it's insane. So you said yes to that and didn't really know what we were doing. And you were traveling from Ohio here in the first few episodes. I remember like an entire season in like 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that was like a 12 episode season. And we were like here, she was here like what, 2, 3, 4 times a week sometimes. So yeah, it was crazy. And then you guys ended up coming, which was so much nicer that we could have, you know, we could do this. So now where are you at?
Where we're at, I think, and one of the questions that came in, I want to answer because it was asking like, what are the plans for our family?
Yeah.
And I think this season we've just kind of felt like the word for me alone was surrender this year. We actually didn't pick a family word. We normally do. And Brennan's like, I just think that like we've been so go, 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 switch, 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 that we just need to rest in the Lord. And so that's kind of where we've been. But Brennan is working at Emmanuel Church on the South Side, and he's just loving it and that experience. And so I'm really excited for him.
I'm excited too. Yeah. I got to watch him on a acoustic, yes, with one of my friends, Claire. And it was so beautiful. I just missed him so much. He is so incredibly gifted. And it was really wonderful hearing him.
Well, I think that was like the hard part to watch too. It was like, mm-hmm. after I realized how stressed out and how much he was struggling in the position, like he was like working like 14-hour days. He was just like tired. Oh my gosh. And like, that's when we really had to look and reevaluate and be like, is this the best case scenario, you know, that made it really difficult. Cause I'm like, gosh, the Lord has really just given you this gift and your heart is so pure. And, you know, there's open doors for people like that, that God wants to use. Is this the best use of your gifting, you know? Mm-hmm. And I kind of always live in this kind of world where I'm like, when I have to go stand before the Lord, like, what will he say good and faithful servant on? And what did I just miss? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And those are always things. And I'm like, gosh, I just don't want to be the person that like, I'm like, well, I like my job, so I'll just stay, you know, here. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh my gosh, just struggling to like learn a whole new thing. And like, I can just see his eyes like kind of draining. And I'm like, oh man, like, this isn't worth
enough
it.
Of that. Yeah. Yes.
And because at the end of the day, like, I want him to stand there too. And God to be like, this is all you did. And if I was the reason that took a year out of, or 2 years or 3 years out of an opportunity to like encourage people in the Word and use the gift that God's given you, that he gave you to use,
yes,
then like, I'm going to hear that too, you know? And so let's have this conversation now. And mm-hmm. so it's kind of where we landed, but yeah, he's back during Central Worship down in Greenwood, Indiana. I am, yeah, working local nonprofit. So that's a new area for me. I feel like people who leave the church world go to nonprofit, but
yeah, which is,
be honest.
I mean, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, you have a heart to help people.
Yes.
One of the people that was a really big encourager along the whole journey from being called away from the church to the season of a new church to even coming back was my current boss. And so for me, I'll never forget. He was like, hey, I'm hiring for this position. And I was like, I'm not coming to work for you. And he was like, okay, we'll just look over the job application. So I literally look over, the job description. I look over the job description and it had spelling mistakes. And so I was so frustrated. I circled them and sent them back. I'm like, not for me, but you
here, fix this.
Get someone who can do this for you. And he said, are you sure? And I said, yes. And then another friend of mine who works with us had texted me and was like, I think you should think about it. So I was like, okay. And I'm applying other places. I'm looking, mm-hmm. I really was looking for the nonprofit space at this point, just because circumstantially there isn't an opportunity to work with Brennan in this season. And mm-hmm. so I was like, okay, well, this is what's next. God's closed. If he opened these doors for Brennan and closed them for me, mm-hmm. then like, I'll just run forward with what he's given me. And so again, my friend had texted me, but while I'm in interviews and applications for other things, I was like, fine. So I went and like looked at the space and I was like, still like, I don't know. I think I even told someone, I was like, no, I just can't. I don't feel good about this or whatever. Mm-hmm. And took one more interview. I was like, I'll take an interview. And the Lord just was like, why are you running from this?
Yeah.
Like, do this. He's like, you're the one telling you that you don't want to do this. And so I was like, God, dang it.
It's because we have something in our minds that what it should look like our mm-hmm. next step. And it's not necessarily what God has for us. But taking the leap of faith and doing something that's uncomfortable, something else can grow from it, you know, and there's so much that you're learning in that position. And you ended up falling in love with you know, enjoying that space that you're in. And
100%. I think if I'm being completely transparent, church world's hard because there's a couple parts of it that make it really difficult. One, again, when you're not in the community anymore, you also don't talk to people in the community anymore. Mm. And not all churches like this, but I do think there are a handful of, or a lot of churches that are like, well, if you're not with us, you're against us. And so,
which to me should be the first red flag. Mm-hmm. I was actually going to ask you a few things of like, when do we know whether a place is safe? I would use this word because it can leave trauma that people can carry for a long time. And I think that that's a huge red flag. It's like, we are all for Jesus, and that's how it should be. Mm-hmm. And when a church or an organization treats you like an outsider because you are no longer a part of their little club, to me, that's a huge, it's just a huge red flag. Like talking to Brian the other day too, we were coming to an agreement of like why we should leave a certain church, or, you know, what should be the telling of it. And I think it's like, it needs to align with your values and personally. And there are two things that are really important for us. One is transparency, mm-hmm. and the other one is loyalty. And the place that we were going has neither. And to me, when we thought and processed that, it's like, wow, this is really huge, you know? So it's time that you move on. That place helped me so much in growing me into what I am right now and how, my relationship with Jesus, mm-hmm. that it's so beautiful, and there's a place for it, you know, and that was my relationship. I stayed there for 10 years and I'm a more mature Christian. I do have a close relationship with Jesus. I learn how to pray. I learn how to fast. I learn how to like show up and get on my knees and just be on fire for Jesus. And those things are really, really priceless. So I love that. And I would never take it away from them because it was, I mean, they guided me through it. But then there is a place when we started seeing things, you know, a time that it's like, maybe it's time to move on. I don't feel like that specific place is good for mature Christians. I think it's really good for new Christians coming to faith. You know what I mean? There's so much value in that sense. And I believe that's why God's still blessing it. But once we realize certain things, then it's like, hey, it's okay to, you know, move on. There's a lot of other places out there, and we need to find being in the community, you know, and finding Jesus somewhere else doesn't mean that you're betraying anything. And I think that's important to be said because people do experience these things. And I will say, don't give up on your relationship with Jesus, even if you have to do community in your own home, like your dad was doing, the Bible study with your kids, with your wife, with your little, you know, group of friends. That's what's important. And then the other things will kind of follow through and come back. But what do you feel like would be the red flags and some things that, you know, warnings for people to be aware of?
I think if you're a church staff member mm-hmm. looking to be on staff at another church, I think, yes, transparency on both levels is important. I think the best advice I got recently was, if you want a job, right? Any job, you write down, these are all my non-negotiables. Mm. And I think in church world, we don't write down our non-negotiables. We're just like,
because we assume that everybody's on our page. Mm-hmm. I love that you're saying mm-hmm. this. And it's not the case in a lot of places. It's mm-hmm. not the case. So I think it's really important too. I love that.
Yeah. So if you're someone in church or were in church staff and looking for another church position, for any reason, like, write down your non-negotiables. Like, leadership a lot of times looks at it as a business, but as people don't, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we look at it as like, and I think it's both. And that's what makes it so confusing and hard. That's why I say, like, you feel like you're leaving a community, but really, like, okay, you're also leaving a job. You're leaving exactly. It's like, it's just all so meshed that you have to really know, like, okay, here's these things. So, mm-hmm. So write down your non-negotiables, know what those are, and then have the questions that you want answers to. I think for me, like, a lot of the questions I had was like, how involved are your leadership with things? What does your board approve or doesn't approve things on? Mm-hmm. How much leeway is in opinions on things? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it really could be any questions that you personally have. But to answer the second part of your question, you were asking, like, what would be things to look for in a church. For me, that's kind of changed. But I think that, first of all, you need to decide. I think there's a kind of a season right now where the seeker-friendly movement is still alive and well. But I think we're also shifting a little bit into this meat and potatoes that we see. Mm-hmm. There's a huge rise in young adults and young leaders right now that are coming to faith. And the number one rising church is the Anglican Church. It's not your smoke show and lights and all this stuff. It's like really meat and potatoes gospel. You kind of got to figure out what you want, right? Like I love what you said, because I totally agree. I think there's amazing churches for different seasons of life. Mm-hmm. I have had churches that I've grown so much in my faith and learning about the Holy Spirit and like really digging into that deep and what it means to really worship wholeheartedly. And then there's places that I'm like, man, I just love getting really into the word, mm-hmm. you know? And so where is that balance for you? And what does that look like? Because the worst thing you can do is pick a place that you like the look and the feel, or you're like, man, I think I'm supposed to go to this place. It's just meat and potatoes. And then you like hate it. And then you're like bitter, and then you don't want to go to church at all. So at the end of the day, find what you love, like find what makes you excited. Yes. Yeah. About like, man, I can't wait to be part of that. I think the biggest thing you can do, honestly, is get involved in a small group or like do their like onboarding class. Mm-hmm. Because if you're looking for a church and you hear things that you don't like, it's going to be in that. And then if you are going to, this would be my thing. If you're asking questions to the ministry leader that's running that class or running that small group, and you feel like it's a pushback in any of it, then I would probably say for me, that would be a red flag. Because again, one, it goes to transparency, but also like how transparent, yes, are we going to be, but also what kind of team are we on? Because there's nothing that I like less in churches than it's like a, well, she's amazing, like look up to her, like this thing or this person, and we start glorifying people instead of the Lord.
Yes.
And so if that's
the celebrity pastor movement, that it's like they're above, mm-hmm. you know, Jesus. I agree with you. But also, like, to me, one important thing is to welcome questions mm-hmm. and not shy away from it. This is how it's done. Boom. Close mm-hmm. that door. Because if you read the Bible, Jesus welcomed questions. Mm-hmm. He welcomed doubt. He went to Thomas, you know, he didn't say, hey, Thomas, I cannot believe that you didn't believe me. Like, after all we've been through together. No, he's like, I get it. You're human. Mm-hmm. Here it is. Put your finger in here, mm-hmm. you know? And aren't you blessed? Like, you're so blessed because you had to see to believe. Imagine those who don't see me yet believe, how much more blessed they are. So I feel like a space that does not welcome questions, we should be wary of, as that's not a good sign.
Well, yeah. I mean, Jesus took questions all the time. Yes. But I would probably say at the end of the day, the biggest thing you can do is look to the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is the thing.
Let it be the
churches
guide.
We're connecting with other churches. Like, ministry leaders, we're connecting with ministry leaders. Does your church love other churches? Do they connect with ministry leaders? That's important because, you know.
We're all in this together.
We're all in this together. One of my favorite things, actually, that when we were in Ohio was our pastor and three other pastors in the city did a rotation where they all preached the same message at four different churches.
Oh.
And then we did a big worship night together, but invited like everyone. And so it was one of those things where I really, really loved that mentality of like, nobody was worried that you're stealing this person or that. You know what I mean? It was
just
like, it was really cool. And all the worship leaders could be up there together. And it was just you're a not really
stealing.
Cool
like you're winning them for Jesus, whether they're in this building or in that building. It's just a matter of geography,
I agree,
right?
Obviously. But like, that's what I'm saying. I do think, though, is like there's this thing to like keep the sheep that you have. And God calls sheep all over the place all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and for different seasons, for different spaces, for different reasons. And so it, at the end of the day, like, yes, I really think that like that's a big one. Like making sure that, you know, how is your church contributing to the community? Like outreach is so important. Like
so important.
If your church is all doing stuff within and they're not giving out to the community, then they're not obeying the tenets of the Bible, right? Like orphans and widows, like look and see if your church is doing that. Are you feeding the hungry or giving to the poor? That's like a big one for my heart. Like,
yeah, I agree.
Like, yes, international missions are great, but what are you doing in your backyard? Sorry. But we're kind of in the season right now. And I know we had gotten this question about like what's next. And what's next is really just sitting. And I think we just are taking in to sit and enjoy God's presence.
And it's hard for a doer, because mm-hmm. I'm a doer too. It's yep. hard to rest. It's mm-hmm. hard to be in his, but there's so much that needs to be done in that silence mm-hmm. and that rest in that moment. It wasn't until a couple of years ago that I worked 24, like not 24/7, but like 7 days a week. Like, and once I got in the word that I needed to take a Sabbath, and I asked for confirmation multiple times. Like, are you sure? Like these nowadays, like it's so different. And my job, like I had every excuse under the rainbow that it was not doable. I'm like, I can't, you know, we make the more money on the weekends. Like, how can I take the weekend off? This is when people are shopping, da, 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 da. Anyway, he said, Test me on this. Mm-hmm. And I kept on getting confirmation and after confirmation. And I did. And I started taking a Sabbath. And it was very weird for the first few months of like just wanting to pick up the phone and do some work. But I'm like, and he time and time again proved to me that it was my biggest earning day, the day that I took off. And I'm just like, how can this be? You know, this is so crazy.
That's such a good point that you just said, though. Like, the idea of Sabbath rocks people.
It does. Mm-hmm. And it's, but including you guys, me. Nowadays, yeah, I get my cup filled on Sundays, and I am so happy when Monday morning comes around. I'm like, yes, I'm so excited. Like, I got in my creative juices flowing and all of these things. It is so important. It looks different for everyone. To me, I just take the day off. Some people take from sundown, sun, whatever. Like, I think it's important because God didn't put it in the Bible because he was tired and that's why he rested on the seventh day. He's like, so this good. Is a gift mm-hmm. that I'm giving to you, and you can take it or you can leave it. He's not forcing us. That's what I think a lot of people get it wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, like in a law, it's not like a forcing thing that you should, but it's a gift. And when you accept that, he will flourish so many other things. It's just like, just rely on me and trust me that I got your back mm-hmm. and I have so much better for you than what you're running on empty all the time. Mm-hmm. And when I lean on him and learn that, really a lot of things changed. Yeah. So,
well, clarity too. I think that when we are going constantly, and you can say that about the Sabbath or you can say that in general, but there's a clarity that comes from rest, right? And mm-hmm. I think you see that, I mean, in the Bible multiple times, like there's seasons of just rest for people. Like mm-hmm.
It's so, Ecclesiastes, right? Yeah. Ecclesiastes, there's a season for everything and under the heavens. Yep. Yeah, under the sun.
So that's where we're at. We're just in the rest and I'm good with that. And I think that there's been so many years of my life where I've just had this dream to do this or that or more or less. And I
go,
just,
go, go, go,
I
go.
Don't care anymore. That's how I feel. Like, yeah. Am I being a good parent? Am I a good wife? And am I honoring God? Like, that's just where.
That's
I think
what
I
he's
just
calling
my
us
hands
to do.
At this
yes.
point.
Yeah.
So I have no idea. Like, again, Brennan's loving his life and I am excited for him. Mm-hmm. My kids are loving school, loving that. And, you know, aww. Like,
you got your community back, like yeah. a lot of your community. Yeah. I love that.
Friends are back.
Yes.
And now I have bonus friends in another state. So it kind of works out all over the place.
Yeah. So, well, like back to what we said, nothing's wasted for yeah. him.
Man, that's thematic for sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Heather, for everything that you do and you've done here on the podcast. We are also sort of closing a cycle here too. And this took a lot of me to realize, but it goes back to what you're saying, like juggling so many things has made me realize that I probably have fulfilled the purpose of the podcast and really shown up here and enjoyed every little bit. I love talking about God. That's my favorite thing about this podcast and favorite thing ever. I love talking about God. I love hearing people's testimonies. That's the type of thing that I consume the most, and thinking that because I love that, I'm going to run something like this. And it looks totally different when you are in front of the cameras leading something like this. And so much work that goes on behind the scenes in order for this to happen, that I just got a word from this church I was visiting and it kind of slapped in my face that I could not shake for the rest of the week. And I talked to you about it. I'm like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think we're done. And you gave me your blessing too of like, I honor and respect this. And that was very important to me. So thank you for, you know.
Well, thank you for saying yes. And, you know, just as an audience, it's kind of watching this last one, like, just be praying for the testimonies that have already been spoken, because mm-hmm. there's so much out there that has really been a huge part for other people. But then also, like, just what an honor it is to hear you say yes to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even closing a chapter can be so difficult.
Oh, incredibly difficult. Because it's so been much nothing time. But so joyful. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Meeting everybody and getting close with you and seeing mm-hmm. you every week and your joyful self. And it's really been so great. And I'm sure we're going to do other things together. But, you know, I wanted to end this not as a goodbye, but more of like a see you later, or I don't know what God has in store for me. I did say yes for this, and I'm so, so glad that I did. And I don't know what else he's going to put in my heart, but I do feel like it's time that I also focus on my health and my family and really show up for them and on my other business that's growing and booming and taking more of my attention to it. And I don't want to show up here exhausted. I don't, you know, God wants more of like of me rested and, you know, showing up for him and honoring him in that sense and not just giving my leftovers to him. And that's kind of how it came about, which I didn't even realize until I heard what I heard. And I'm like, well, mm-hmm. I am running on empty here. So anyway, I want to just say thank you guys for being here, for supporting this, for watching all of the episodes. If you haven't watched all of them, there's a ton of stuff for you to binge on and watch on and share, you know, spread. If there's anything that you feel like you want to do for us as a way of giving back, is just to share this, you know, any episode that spoke to you and that touched your heart, please share them with other people that you feel like will find value, because that's the thing. It's like mm-hmm. encouraging. Christians need to be encouraged. They need to be nurtured, need to be fed. And all of the testimonies and people who have been here have offered so much for us. I know that I was a crying mess in every single yeah. episode, mostly. So I just want to leave that legacy in that sense and just saying yes for whatever else God asks me of in different seasons. So we'll be popping in, you know, every now and then. I don't know if it's through social media or whatnot. And maybe somebody else will be sitting here eventually. I don't know what it looks like. It's kind of for you too, the unknown. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to rest in it and I'm going to wait for his direction.
Yeah, I think it's important when, you know, God's closing a door and he's blessing other things and growing other things. And obviously health is so important mm-hmm. and family and especially. You know, I just learned that lesson. So I love yeah. watching you just be ready and open to when God says it's time, it's time. So, we're just thankful for everyone who's been part of the journey, like she said. And, yeah, let's see what God has next, because nothing's wasted.
Nothing's you wasted. I just get, and I'm so happy too that I got to close this cycle with you. Mm-hmm. And this is so not planned. It was so unplanned as of last week, literally, that's when I broke the news. And yeah. you're like, wow, that's going to be great because I'm the last one. So I love it. I love it. Thank you. Would you like to close us in prayer?
I'd love to. Lord, thank you so much just for how mighty and faithful that you are, Lord, that we can't comprehend you. And that makes it just so much easier to glorify you, Lord. We give you all the praise and glory for all that you have done on this podcast. God, we thank you for all the people that have been part of this, both watched it, consumed it, but God, also that have shared it with other people that have never heard or heard less of your amazing word, Lord. We just pray right now for Karina, for her health, for her family. God, all that you're doing in her life. Thank you for blessing her other business, Lord. God, just thank you so much for this opportunity that we got to do. And whatever it looks like, Lord, I just ask that you give the confirmation to Karina just to let her know what her yes was for in this process. God, I pray that this legacy here that she's leaving, Lord, would touch others for generations to come. God, as we're generational people, God, I pray for each and every person that's watching this podcast today or hearing it, Lord, that their children would be blessed, Lord, that Karina's children and family would grow up to be leaders in world change. changers, Lord. And the same with others who are in this podcast, God. I pray for a boldness, a community of believers, Lord, that are being raised up underneath us because they're consuming content like this, Lord. I pray for all the other people that are doing podcasts, Lord, that are sharing testimonies. Lord, would you give them extra strength and wisdom to combat people that are coming against them online, Lord. We pray that no weapon formed against them will prosper. Lord, we thank you again for this opportunity. And Jesus, we bless each and every person that has been part of this process. Lord, in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I love you.
We did it.
Thank you so much for joining us today, friends. I hope you guys are walking away feeling encouraged and maybe even a little lighter. Make sure to subscribe and drop a comment or review so we can keep this faith-filled community growing. Share this episode if it touched you or if you know someone who needs to hear it. Let's spread the love. I'll see you next week on Karina Faith Diaries. And until then, stay strong, stay kind, and keep the faith.